Position game in the first half, and the Packers struggled to turn that field position in their favor. It wasn't just Packer miscues either. You have to give some credit to the Jaguars, who gave the Packers a pretty good run for their money. But in the end, the Packers found a way to win, and Rodgers says that matters.
Yeah, of course. Tough to win in this league. You know, it's tough to win on the road, and first game of the year after many of us, myself and a few of us, didn't play a whole lot in the preseason. We went out there and battled through some heat. Would have been real disappointing to not come out on top in this one, but thanks to our defense for finishing the thing off.
Packers had the day off today. They'll return tomorrow to start preparing for their divisional matchup in Minnesota on Sunday night. I'm Bill Scott. More from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, BS. It is 15 minutes before 10 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, in the studio, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations. And she is the superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. Please welcome back to Community Conversations, Dr. Lolly Hawes. Good morning, Dr. Hawes.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Always good to see you. So you heard our discussion about Tuesdays with Maury.
I did.
And you said you had read that book.
Oh, a couple of times. It's a great book.
It's a very interesting story because Mitch Albom, the author, had been out of touch with his professor, I think it was from Brandeis University, if I recall. And they had met every Tuesday while he was a student.
Right.
And he just so happened to have heard that he was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease and just so happened to visit him on a Tuesday.
Right.
And then proceeded to go see him every Tuesday. Right. And then that came that great book.
Yeah, it was a great book. It had a lot of meaning for all of us who read it, you know, thinking about our life and what does our life mean and what's the real purpose, all of that.
What are some of the other books that you've read that have touched your life?
Oh, like I was telling you, I read a couple of years ago a book called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Same idea. It's a story from a dog's perspective about his master and his master's wife. And it's a great book. If you haven't read that, it's sort of along the lines of Tuesdays with Maury, The Art of Racing in the Rain. I'm sorry, I don't know the author, but it's a great book. You can't put it down.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I just finished a book about multiple generations of a family living in the Appalachian Mountains and life there and through the Depression and World War II and all of that. I like historical fiction, I guess, so that was a great book.
It's the only kind of fiction I read.
Yeah.
If it's historical.
Yeah.
Other than I'm a nonfiction guy.
Yeah.
There's a great book that I'm reading right now by a local civil rights leader named Milton Thompson. We have him in a community conversation. It's called The Only One in the Room.
Mm.
Have you met Milton?
No.
He's a former educator and a superintendent in Wisconsin.
Huh. Nope. Haven't met him.
Really highly recommend that. She is Dr. Lolly Hawes of the Racine Unified School District, the superintendent. Okay, before we get into how the school year started, we've been waiting with bated breath because on our last visit, you revealed that you have a 41-year tradition of always getting a new dress.
Yes, I do.
For the first day of school, but you would not reveal the color of the dress. And Mark and I have a bet. What was the color of the dress?
Dress was sort of a white with some gray and soft yellow flowers on it.
Oh, we were both wrong.
Oh, you're both wrong. What did you guess?
I said red.
Red.
Said black.
I said black.
Oh, I have a lot of black dresses. I do have a bright red dress that I wear from time to time.
I said the first day of school, you got to
come
in with something
bright.
Yeah, be bright.
How important is dress code for teachers these days?
Our teachers are professionals, and we certainly want them to dress and represent professional look, and we want them to stand out from their students as being, you know, dressed and in a professional manner. I think it does a lot to set the tone in the classroom, but not all of our teachers would agree with that. So
they have some leeway. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You know, we principals sort of guide the norm and the standards for their schools in terms of how they dress, other than something outrageous that might cause what we say if it causes a disruption in drawing a lot of attention for something that somebody might be wearing, then we certainly want to not let that happen.
How many of your male school teachers wear a tie these days?
I know some do all the time and some probably never do. So there's a sort of a broad range of what that is.
What about dress code for the students? I know a lot of school districts have gone to uniforms mm-hmm. for a lot of good mm-hmm. reasons. What do you guys do?
We don't have any schools that wear uniforms other than RCLA, which is one of our charter schools. And again, there's all kinds of different opinions on that. Some people think that that helps with the behavior and that helps with families not having to worry about competition for having all the right clothes. And then other families feel like, you know, it's something they want to be able to do for their kids is have them wear what they would like them to wear. So we haven't gone down that or explored that here in Racine at all.
How long has school been in session?
We started September 1st, so we're really literally just starting up the seventh day of school, I think.
And how would you gauge the start of the school year?
We've had a great start. A lot of optimism, positivity, a lot of people excited to be back. We had some great trainings for teachers over the summer. Our enrollment is very strong. We are everywhere we look, we see good things and lots of people excited to be back. Lots of families very happy to be sending their kids back to school. I always say we're very popular in September.
There's been a lot of talk about having school year-round, 12 months mm-hmm. a year. And as a former camping professional in the summer camp business, I wouldn't have loved that. But what are your thoughts about that?
Well, certainly the calendar of our schools has been built on the idea of the agrarian calendar where, you know, children were mostly working in from families who were farmers and agriculture and took the summers off. So, but as far as does it make a difference in their learning, there have been lots of studies that show a year-round calendar with 9 weeks of school, 3 weeks off, doesn't do anything different for achievement in any way.
It doesn't.
Certainly if the kids went to school year-round with fewer breaks, it might, because always more time means more learning. But there's not been any definitive evidence that a year-round schedule makes that difference. It does help with some with what we call summer slip, where students slide back a little bit over the summer because they're not reading and practicing their math like they might be in school. But teachers are really good in September about catching everybody back up and getting back on track. So.
And it must take some time for everybody to get back into the flow of the
right.
schedule.
Uh-huh. The great thing about education is that we do have a fresh, clean slate once a year. And, you know, most other jobs, careers, professions don't get that, where everybody just steps back and takes a minute and then comes with a fresh start, fresh class, fresh new faces, new ideas to try this year. So that's the fun thing about schools and having a fall start like this. It's a fresh, you know, hopeful, promising time. I heard somebody one time say that it's pregnant with promise, and that's really true. This time of year for children and teachers is just pregnant with promise because there's so much that can happen this year and is going to happen, and it's really heartwarming and exciting to think about that.
She's Dr. Lolly Hawes. She's the superintendent of Racine Unified. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation for a Tuesday morning with Mark Eichhorst.
Doctor, parent involvement is so important to any child's education. Are the PTAs still out there? And how important are PTAs to the Unified School District?
PTAs are vital. You know, there is a lot of research that shows the parents who are visible at school, whose children see them at school, and whose parents are engaged, even if they're not at school, but at home with homework or following up and reading the newsletters and talking to their children about what they did at school that day. Those children always do better in school. So parent engagement is really important. We've done a lot of things to support our PTAs better. I have a parent key communicators group from each of the schools. We have people who work in family and parent engagement out of our office and work directly with our PTAs at our schools. Some of our schools have amazing PTAs that do tremendous things, and others are in the process of building them. So we always want our PTAs, PTOs to be active. But more than that, we want our parents to understand what their child is learning, what they can do to help them at home, where they have weaknesses, where they have strengths, and be in a relationship with the teacher that it feels like a partnership, so that the teacher feels comfortable anytime calling a parent about what they want to share with a parent where they could help or brag about, and that the parent feels comfortable anytime calling the teacher when they have a question, concern, or just want to share something. So more than PTOs, we want this relationship between teachers and parents that is focused on what can we do together for the children.
Racine Unified has got a bunch of new facilities, a lot of your students in new facilities.
We do.
How does that impact the students when they're in either a new facility or a facility that is really well kept up?
I think it is a message to children. It's a kind of a subtle message, but it says we are important. I'm a child. They think I'm important enough to, you know, have this beautiful school kept up for me, and it sets up a value that is an implicit value in the children. Actually, this year we have about 2,500 children in a brand new school, all told. Another 600 or so next year with the real school, so we'll be over 3,000 children in a school that's a year or two old, and several of our schools have had some major refurbishing and they look great. So more and more our children are really in beautiful environments and showing we're able to demonstrate the value that we have for kids by the kinds of facilities we give them.
How does that affect both their behavior and their willingness to learn?
It has a direct impact, I believe, and we know that all of us, the environment in which we work and how it looks and feels to us, you know, is motivating and encouraging and makes us feel better than if we walk into a place that's, you know, unkept and uncomfortable. And so we know there's a direct correlation between that.
So we had, of course, the start of the academies in the high school level.
Right.
And how are those going, and what's your focus for this year?
They are going great. Our block scheduling is going well. Mr. Thielen was telling me recently that he's had several high school students come up to him and say, you know, I really like this block schedule. And there was all this reticence before about it, but now all of a sudden it's not so bad, and they are understanding there's some benefits to it. Our teachers rated their training very, very high. As far as getting trained to start teaching on the block, and we've got lots of supports and more trainings to come throughout the year.
How are the kids reacting to this?
They are reacting very positively. It's a much, so there's fewer breaks. Classes are longer, so there's fewer times between class, but they're longer between classes. So they have a little more time, but less often. So we're going to be watching closely to see what happens as far as behavior and discipline problems and friendship issues and all of that that happens in those. And when we had more frequent passing periods, there were more frequent opportunities for what I would call silliness to happen. You know,
undoubtedly, a lot of the middle school students that you have in the district have older brothers and sisters who are experiencing this new block programming in the academies. Mm-hmm. Are they feeling left out, the middle school students?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I wanted to talk about mainly today. Is we've spent the last 3 years on what we call high school transformation. We've transformed our high schools into these academies. Now we are turning our attention to our middle schools. We know that our middle schools need to be better, can be better, and we want to be able to say that Racine Unified offers every middle school child and family a great choice. So we are right now launching into looking for our families and our community to participate in a really open-ended kind of survey that is called Thought Exchange, where we are saying, what is a quality middle school in your mind? What are the components that we already have in quality middle schools? What are the components of a quality middle school that you would want us to put in place? And if you said Racine Unified middle schools were great choices, what would those choices be? What kinds of choices do you want? We've sent those four open-ended questions out to all of our families and to everybody whose email address we have. And anybody in the community can participate in that. If you go to www.rusd.org, you'll see a button right there on the main page that says take this survey, and you can give your input. Then what happens is that we send all of those thoughts, all of those messages that people send to an organization that we work with, and they will put it into themes, and there might be 15, 20, 25 themes of things that people have said, and we send it back to you and say, okay, here's what everybody said. Now help us prioritize these. Which of these that you read, that everybody said, are in your mind the most important? And that will help us set a direction for where we want to go with our middle schools. Hopefully midwinter, January is what I'm hoping for. January, February sometime, we would come back to the community and say, here's what you all said, and here's what we would propose as some things that we can do to transform our middle schools for, we would hope, the fall of 2018. So give ourselves a year and a half to put all of those plans in place. So we want everybody's input. We want everybody to weigh in, and hope everybody will take a minute and go to our site and rusd.org and give us your thoughts about what would be a great middle school program for Racine Unified.
So many times people say that I don't have a say in where my kid goes to school or what happens in school, but here's an opportunity.
Here's an opportunity, exactly. And what are the choices that we parents want choices? We know that parents want to have options. So what are the choices that would be good choices for you? What kinds of programming do you think our middle schools need? And if we have special magnet type middle schools, what would those be? If we have, should they be KH? Should they be fine arts? Should they have more athletics? Should they have less? Whatever, you know, we're interested in what people think so that we can put together a plan that responds to the community. The schools, public schools, are owned by the citizens and by the community, and they are your public schools. So we want you to help us define what they should be.
She is your superintendent. She is Dr. Lolly Haas, the superintendent of Racine Unified School District. Always a pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me, and we'll see you again, I guess, sometime down the road.
I would certainly.
I hope so.
I
right?
would certainly hope so. Lord willing, if the creek
That's
don't
right.
rise.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Speaking of knowledge, your tremendous Tuesday Hour of Power, where we acknowledge that knowledge is power, follows WRJN covering the world at 10:01.
Clinton's pneumonia, Obama campaigns. I'm Evan Haining. Hillary Clinton says she didn't think her bout with pneumonia was that big a deal, but it was.